I kind of got to an age where I felt like my parents should have had the talk with me by now. So I actually approached my dad about it. And I was like, hey, dad, so I think like it's time you should
sit you down.
You should give
dad,
me the talk.
Give me the talk.
It was foreshadowing.
Yeah, I guess so. But I remember we were sitting out on the front porch in the summer in Iowa and like had popsicles because it was super hot in the middle of the day. And he's sitting there. He's like, huh, well... Well, a penis is sort of like this popsicle.
Oh my God.
Wow.
He's teaching you how to give blowjobs at the same time.
If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast. Songs I know I did. False and made a for
myself to fit. On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we're having sex talk with my mom. No, well, I don't even, maybe that's a good title. Sex talk with your mom. That's a good title.
Sex talk with Cam's mom.
Sex talk with Cam's mom. You're
exactly.
Right.
With Cam and his mom.
Yeah.
There you go.
So on this episode, we have Cam and Karen Lee, the two hosts of the Sex Talk with My Mom podcast, which is also, I guess, a YouTube show, and they're on Instagram. And they are a mother and son duo who do a show where they talk very candidly and very intimately about sex. And I ran into the two of them a few months ago at PatriCon, and we've kind of stayed in touch since then and talked about doing an episode together. And so it's exciting that finally all of our schedules, well, almost
except
all
for
of our
Dedeker, of course.
Yeah. Almost all of our schedules lined up. Dedeker, unfortunately, is not with us for this episode, because she is visiting family and mm-hmm. spending some time with one of her partners.
Yeah.
But
good for her.
We're very excited for this. So these two, they've been on Tosh.0 and the Today Show, and they've been featured as a top sex podcast in places like Esquire, Huffington Post, Pop Sugar, LA Mag, and most illustrious of all, of course, is the Multiamory Podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
Which they're about to be on right now.
Yes, indeed.
In this episode, we kind of covered all sorts of stuff, from kind of how we feel like things are changing with the way people talk about sex to why it's important to be able to have those conversations, as well as like how it changes your relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very fun.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Yeah. It was a great one. And let's get into it now.
Wonderful. All right. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, we're so glad to have you on. So from what I have read and from what we have listened to of your show, you started it because you kind of wanted to get rid of the stigma surrounding sex and surrounding like talking about sex with your parents, which is really awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
But can you talk a little bit more about that and about like your show's origins?
Absolutely. We have the whole story.
It's a whole spiel.
I want to say one thing. There was a moment when I was in college, mm-hmm. and my mom and I never talked about weed growing up. It was
okay.
Like, don't mm-hmm. do drugs. And I was like, okay, we'll never do drugs.
Fine, right. Never.
And so obviously in college, I'm experimenting with weed. And my friend's like, oh, why don't you just tell your, like, I just told my mom I got this weed. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
You told your mom that you got this
weed?
Oh my
gosh, yeah.
And I was like, and he's like, yeah, what's the big deal? And I was like, what is the big deal? And right. that changed everything. Then I think eventually I started talking about drugs with you. But
and now you guys get high all the time together?
Well, now she's a big pothead.
Okay. Well, you live in California. Have you always lived? No, you lived in Chicago, right?
Chicago,
yeah.
I was not a big pothead, but I smoked weed since like, I want to say 1976? I don't know. Somewhere in that time period.
1976.
There you go.
I've been smoking weed in a long time, baby.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's kind of the effect, that moment of you're like, wait, why can't I talk about that? Mm. That's the kind of effect we're hoping to make with this show.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it was a long journey to get us to that point.
Yeah,
also.
It wasn't weed talk with my mom.
No, it was not weed talk with my
no,
mom.
No, but have sex. You considered that spinoff show?
No, there you go. Yeah, she's don't even get him started, okay? He's going to like create a...
I'm always like, spinoff show, spinoff show.
Yeah. She literally has been pushing me on a weekly basis. Oh, you need to make a whole weed network.
Oh my goodness. Just a weed network. That's yes. awesome.
Right,
yeah.
right.
But no, the truth is that... we're all, he has an older sister and a younger brother. So
you're the middle child.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Middle child syndrome. Yeah. Galore.
And, so why don't you go ahead?
So we were very open about sex growing up. Obviously she's a very liberal woman.
There you go. Awesome. Yeah.
And,
obviously.
And then when I was 17, a very tragic event took place. My father was murdered and that flipped our worlds upside down.
Of course. Yeah.
And it really brought us much closer because, you know, we had to rely on each other for emotional support to get through this. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't have anyone else to talk about sex with in mm-hmm. terms of a parental figure. So I often went to her, mm-hmm. even though I think even prior to his death, I would have gone to you as opposed to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, this is all to say it, and it ended up opening up this conversation between us. And at the same time, you just started dating again.
Yeah. So about, you know, 6 months, 8 months after my husband passed away, I was like, you know what? I'm still alive. I'm going to go out and date again. So I started going out into the singles world and some funny stuff happened. Some scary stuff happened. And I'm like, I need to get some more information. So I started looking online on YouTube. There was nothing like for a 47-year-old woman who is going out in the world again. So I'm like, oh, great. I'm going to provide that service. So I started my YouTube channel. It was called Love Encore at the time. And now it's called Karen Lee Love. So that was in 2012. And I thought I'm going to get all these women and we're going to have a big community and we're going to go out and like teach everybody what to do. And I got like 100 views a month. And because people my age don't even know how to turn
what
on
YouTube is. Yeah.
I'll tell you who did know. Horny dudes that are 18 to 35 years old.
Oh my goodness.
Right. Wanting to know what it's like to be a cougar. And then I started.
Basically, how to fuck her.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Or
sure.
How
yeah.
to meet other older women or learn sex tips. So I started like interviewing porn stars. And the next thing I know, I did some videos with them about oral sex tips. Or I ended up writing a book called A Cougar's Guide to Getting Your Ass Back Out There.
Wow.
That was mainly for women, again, trying to help the women. And so then, Cam, you take over from here.
Well, this was while I was at college.
Okay.
And so I would come home and slowly things were changing. So like I went into my bedroom and, there's a new chaise lounge in the bedroom.
You're like, what is this?
I'm like, that's a nice little like lounge that I'd like to lounge on. And then I noticed there's a camera 4 feet from it pointed directly at it. I'm like, did you set up a porn studio in my bedroom?
What's happening here?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And then, she did. I mean, she was coming out with these videos that were titled like, porn stars tips on penis size.
Right.
And I was
very
like,
popular,
what?
By the way.
Yeah, my friends were sending this to me. I'm like, please don't. You know, just like keep this to yourself.
Man, you were doing your own research too.
This literally one time I was looking for oral sex tips and I was
and
suggested
like,
one of her videos.
Damn it, I guess I should watch it.
No, that's hold on. Like, hold on. Just pause for a moment. I just want to get a like real picture of this. So like you're looking for sex tips for yourself.
Yes.
And your mom's video comes up.
Yes.
Suggested videos.
Yeah.
Was it helpful?
I did not watch. I was like, whoa, this is not who I want to be learning oral sex tips from. Yeah. I don't know where this is going to go.
Oh, man.
But let's just leave it at that. And then eventually she came out with this book called A Cougar's Guide to Getting Your Ass Back Out There, which I thought was hilarious. And I decided to start using it in my stand-up comedy.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah, and I was selling the book. Right. I was acting out passages from the book.
I'm going to give you a copy as a...
Oh, literally. Oh, I'm so excited. That's awesome.
And then eventually we were like, well, we're using the same source material. We should like work together. And we created this podcast from that.
Nice. That's fantastic. And how long ago did you start the podcast again?
4 years ago.
4 years. Okay.
Yeah. Got so they've 4 years. Doing it as long as we have.
Yeah, almost. Yeah.
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 And it just revving up.
Yeah. Seriously. Heck yes.
Have you brought any parent onto your show?
No, but we've talked about it.
I just randomly had a shower thought the other day of like doing a guest episode where each of our moms like did an episode in our stead. So not even like with them, but just like you do one as
just
us.
They do
God. And that I don't know what would happen.
And
there.
We were all like instantly thought it was hilarious and also terrifying at the same time.
Yeah. So,
why would it be terrifying?
Well, my mom's like really intense and Dedeker's mom is like really woo-woo and your mom is like very sweet. And so it would be interesting. I just don't know how maybe
it'd be awesome.
Maybe.
I don't know.
We can set them free and see what happens, but
I bet
yeah.
Do you think it would
just be like
episodes.
Silence?
Yeah, I know. Right. That might happen too. So, oh my goodness. Well,
who would be the most uncomfortable to talk about sex with of the parents?
That's a great question.
Of our parents?
Of our parents? Yeah.
I don't know. See, that's the thing. Like, I've actually had a similar trajectory with my mom to what it sounds like you two have had, where that was growing up is just not something you talk about to now, like, we can be more matter of fact about it. And, you know, and sometimes she'll come to me for advice, not about like how to do it, but more about, but, you know, more about just like, I need someone to talk to about this thing about, like when she was dating or stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
She actually just got married like a few weeks ago.
Yeah. So cool.
Again. But so she's off the market. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, obviously like now the two of you are really into talking about sex with one another. And do you actually
we're like into it,
but you
like,
do
into
it.
Into it is not the
into
one.
It makes it sound like we're getting turned on.
No,
by this.
I mean, I mean, like you just are
we're
used to doing
we're,
it.
We're
yes.
Getting, we're
yes. Very comfortable.
Exactly.
It doesn't shock us. Sometimes in the beginning it was like, oh my God.
I mean, the goal was to make it a comedy show.
Yeah.
Right. It was not necessarily to open the conversation about sex.
Yeah. It's still a comedy
interesting.
Show.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I just thought it'd be funny to talk about sex with my mom.
Yeah. But do you feel like
it is funny to talk about sex with you.
I mean, of course, I can imagine.
You never know, especially if he describes his dates, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We've listened to some of those.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll bring the dates on and then it's like,
right.
Deconstructed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like break it down. But
yeah. We do a little debriefs
in front of me and it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
Yeah. That's really, really interesting.
We always have fun.
But so, how has that changed then over the 4 years? Like, have you found that it's become something more than just that it's funny to talk about sex with my mom?
Yes.
What has that change been? Because that I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think inherent to you guys must experience this just by talking about sex, you become sex educators.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I didn't know shit.
Sex relationships, all of that. Yeah.
Because no one's talking about it.
Yeah.
Right.
And so by talking about it in a public forum, people start listening. They're like, oh, maybe I should try that. Maybe that's the way that this relationship should go. And I'm like, I don't fucking know. I barely have sex. This was supposed to make people laugh. You shouldn't be taking my word for this.
I used to give them so much shit about not having enough casual sex.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so then, you know, over the 4 years, we've interviewed experts. We've become more, you know.
He has definitely learned more about vibrators than I know.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right.
Yeah.
That's great.
I know a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yes. I can imagine.
Well,
she knows a lot.
Yes.
Definitely, I can imagine.
By merit of just what you are talking about on a weekly basis. Yeah. So, yeah, of course.
And so, yeah, we did learn much more about sex. And I think we also became much more comfortable talking about it. Like, the first few episodes were really fucking uncomfortable.
Really?
Despite having this
open
communication.
I'm sure they were hilarious, though. Like, but that uncomfortability was probably hilarious in and of itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, now, I mean, it must be slightly different just because that comfort is there.
Yeah. But now we have to push in different ways that we're like...
But right. It was you who said that the more uncomfortable the conversation gets, you end up becoming comfortable.
Right.
And I think that's the key. And it's helped in all of my relationship with my friends.
Yeah.
You know, and it causes me to like push a little more, even with new people that I meet. I'm like, well, why would you just talk about small talk? Why don't we just go right to the meat of the matter?
That's really interesting. Yeah.
And I got my friends that are all turning into grandmas. Hopefully I'll be a grandma one day too. But they're talking about like, let me tell you about my granddaughter's ballet recital. And I'm like, this is boring. Not what I want to be discussing.
Oh my
I don't
want to
see any more pictures or videos of your grandkids. I'm sorry. It's boring.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Who knows what I'll become, but I guarantee I'll still have more to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, was it uncomfortable for you guys to start opening up the conversation about sex and relationships, or was it just like pretty easy from the start?
And I think... Yeah, I think it was fairly easy, but our like preconceived notions of what type of relationship we were in, what that looked like, then how we were presenting it to the world in a lot of ways, just like, because I think especially in polyamory, for instance, in the early days, often it's like, well, we, you know, are this enlightened thing because we know how to do this relationship structure, and therefore like we're cooler than everyone else. Mm. And to a degree, like that has totally changed. Like it's harder for, we realize even more and more now, like how much we don't know what the hell relationships are about, and that we're on the journey just like everyone else.
That's
wow.
Very so, you to say.
I mean, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. If I can get all like deep on us for a moment, I remember a friend of mine in college, his dad was a pastor. And I remember talking to his dad one day, because his dad had been divorced and, you know, wasn't together with my friend's mom anymore. And just kind of being like, how do you do that? Like I asked him, I was like, how is that being a pastor and feeling like everyone's looking to you to like do everything right?
Yeah. Mm. Not perfect.
Yeah. And his answer to me, he was like, the job of a pastor or someone like that isn't to do everything right. It's to do the same thing as everyone else, but to do it in front of everybody.
And I was like, oh, wow. Oof.
It like still gets
that.
Me goosebumps.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
great.
Everybody, wow.
So, yeah, it's like, it's just about...
To be on display.
And to know that he's human.
Yeah, to be willing to do that in front of people so they can hopefully learn from you.
Maybe he does it on purpose. Let me try all these different relationships for the sake of the synagogue or the church.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, oh my goodness. I don't know. Well, kind of with that, I mean, I'm assuming throughout the course of this, you two have been in relationships with people. Do you think that bleeds into just, you know, you talking about sex on a weekly basis? Do you think that kind of bleeds into your relationships, into your knowledge of sex, of relationships,
totally.
Of anything?
Oh, yeah. It definitely bleeds. It's a bloodbath.
Yeah. Woo, yeah.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I have an 11-year relationship with a man.
Oh, wow.
And we live together. And, you know, inevitably, whatever I'm discussing ends up being talked about with the two, you know, and the two of us. So it's definitely helped me become more open-minded about sex with him and things that, you know, I'd like to try, because we've talked to so many different people. And I think it's definitely like where I used to be like, I would never do this or this. Now I'm like, I don't know, maybe we would, you know.
You kind of become more open to new things, or
like mentally I'm, you know, like I said, I'm not the grandma, I'm open-minded. Uh-huh. But yeah, I mean, I haven't really done the craziest stuff. I'm kind of vanilla, especially, you know, with your lifestyle. But I think we are definitely trying more stuff and more open to more stuff than we've ever been. And probably we'll be continuing on that route.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Hmm. I didn't know that you were experimenting like that.
Well, I can go into exactly what I said.
Okay.
You can extrapolate that any way you want.
I extrapolated.
You went down some sort of perverse road. I don't know what you think is happening.
I just,
here.
You
what
never.
What do you think I'm doing?
I don't know. I don't know. We'll get
you
on.
You do know
We'll
some
talk
of
about that on our show, I guess.
You do know a little bit of this stuff. I mean, one of my really good friends is a porn star.
Yeah.
And she is in a relationship with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always trying to get me to experiment and stuff. So I went in one of our episodes, I went to, the Korean spa with them.
Hmm.
It was quite an experience. I mean, we didn't go down into having any kind of sex, but it was just definitely more intimate than I've ever experienced with women before.
Interesting.
Wow.
I mean,
yeah.
I love the Korean spa.
I love the Korean spa.
So nice. You got to go with my friend and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Interesting. Oh my goodness. Well, and how about for you?
For me, so the question is,
well, just say in your relationships, if you've had relationships or even just like dating or anything, do you think what you've talked about on the show has kind of bled into that, for lack of a better term?
Yeah. Yes. Because of the show, for the bit.
Yeah. Oh my God. So yeah, I mean, my whole life has changed because of this.
I can imagine. Yeah.
I'm pushed to have new experiences because I'm like, okay, well, I need some content to talk about.
I'm like, do it for the bit.
And
there
I think,
you go. Uh-huh.
I also think, you know, for my own personal curiosity, you know, I by having these conversations, I'm open to all these different worlds that I would never have considered before.
Yeah.
So it's definitely helped in that way. With regard to my relationships and dating, it does make it more challenging at times because I'm like, okay, I have to have the conversation with them before I bring it out to the podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And make sure that they're cool with me sharing this. And sometimes you don't think that, for me, there were like many times where I was like, oh, this is just an experience that just reflects my internal state. It doesn't really affect them. And like someone who I just kind of casually saw could have been like, no, you revealed way too much about my life in doing so. Even though I kept them anonymous.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I would have to take down the episode. It was like a whole learning experience.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Because everyone,
I think consent is a big thing.
Yeah.
On the show.
Yeah.
Like making sure that everything is okay.
Our show also is a little bit less about our own like personal experiences and kind of more about, you know, like
petty
the concepts
ideas.
Or the like things that we're learning about or research, or it's more like topic based rather than. And so I get that would be a lot more complicated.
It's really complicated.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then sometimes we'd bring, like she was mentioning, we'd bring the person.
Yeah,
onto
I
the
wanted
show
to ask about that. That must be really interesting.
It's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe what you were alluding to earlier, how you guys all had different perspectives on what poly means and where, you know, what that would mean for your relationship.
Yeah.
Sex is such a an act that no one talks about and holds so differently in their minds.
Yeah.
Right.
So I was being intimate with someone and they were having such a vastly different experience.
You could not believe the differences.
Interesting. Yeah. Because you talked about it after the fact and then you were able to be like, wait, what?
Yes.
That's what was happening to you during this?
She was like, wait, what?
Oh my goodness.
And typically you just don't have those conversations.
No.
Especially if it's casual. You're like, okay, well, that was a fun experience for me. Right. You seem to have a fun experience.
Yeah.
We're not going to go into details about how that stroke, like whatever.
Yeah.
You know, what did that stroke mean to you? You know, and this kind of was like a full-blown doors are open.
Have you done that multiple times on the podcast?
Lighthearted ones, like one of the ones we did initially, we had our 200th anniversary, so we asked our guests to send in little videos about their experience on the show, and one of them said that honesty that she had discussing the date after the date, where she kind of ghosted Cam or friend zoned Cam, it changed like her viewpoint about things and made her much more honest in her relationship that she has currently after that episode.
Yeah. And that's great.
That's cool.
It was pretty interesting because we hadn't established whether we were dating or not. And then she came on the show and she's like, no, this is a friend thing.
It was
a one-time thing,
yeah.
What the hell? I thought that this was a date.
So that happened on the show.
In front of me.
Yeah. I was sitting there.
Like,
to make matters worse.
Oh my gosh.
It would have been bad enough on my own.
Wow. Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
No, that is really, that's an interesting thing. Because that's something that we don't do on our show. Like, we don't do that kind of like, let's sit and talk about a specific relationship or, you know, this one specific thing that happened
to me.
So that's interesting.
You're going to get there. You're going to come on our show.
Was it a conscious decision to exclude some personal details like that? Or
it's a good question. I think to a degree, I mean, it comes up from time to time. Absolutely. But we do talk about like just concepts of like, okay, today we're going to, I don't know, talk about cheating, like, is it possible to cheat in a polyamorous relationship? And we do say like, okay, I remember a time when X, Y, and Z occurred, but we keep it more, I think, in the past. We don't necessarily talk about the relationships that are happening like right at that specific moment.
This is how you approach mom.
That's how I approach it.
Yeah.
I keep it in the, you know, like even if it's I talk a lot about my experiences when I was dating.
Sure.
Right after the death. So that stuff was obviously many years ago. So it doesn't really, like, I don't know if I could have actually talked about that right away at the time. Like, some of the stuff that, I mean, it's like scary what I put myself in, you know.
It is.
I'm kind of
interested to hear some of those stories.
Oh,
but
we
got
some good stories.
Yeah.
I think we've had a little bit of a similar thing of like talking about things from the past rather than, you know, something that we're in the middle of right now, kind of after. Not from a sense even of like can't talk about it or don't want to, but more like, I don't know what I've learned from that yet while I'm in the middle of it.
It's a really good point.
I think there's like a different value to it. Like,
yeah.
When to like show like, this is how I am right now in the middle versus kind of being able to look back.
Well, it's hard to have perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
But we have actually, I think in more recent years, tried to open up a little bit more about what we go through currently and have gone through just in general, because we have found that people do appreciate that of kind of getting that.
It's
like
probably their favorite part of the podcast.
Yeah, this
probably, I think some
this
of it is
the pastor, you know, being on display.
Right,
there you go.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Bring it right back there.
Can no, bring like it back.
That's it.
Yeah,
totally. So we have tried to kind of bring in more of that, I guess, of kind of, especially when it comes to things like insecurities or challenges that we still have, because I think it's really easy to look at someone, to look at a pastor, I guess, you know, or to look at someone on a podcast and assume they've got their shit figured out all the time.
Right. Because they're talking.
Right. Yeah. Because they're talking in front of people.
Say, right.
I don't.
Yeah.
I've got the least shit figured out. Is that a word? Least shit figured
the least
out?
Shit. Yeah.
That's brilliant. Loved it.
Loved it.
Yeah.
There's one danger, which is that, you know, at least in my experience talking about this, like if they hear that I've spoken about on the podcast, it inherently changes our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that makes sense.
It's I often talk about that observed particle theory of like a particle, you know, you guys know this thing.
Tell it to us.
Please. Yeah.
Okay. So basically that like they found that these like electrons or neutrons in certain conditions, if you are observing it, it will appear as a wave. And if you're not observing it, it will appear as like a static object or vice versa or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. But basically suggesting that just your act of observing it changes the actual particle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you, I get what everyone follow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know if I explained it best.
Why you look at me like, did you get that? I know that.
Right? I know, but I didn't explain it as eloquently as I could have. Anyway.
You nailed it.
The point being, by talking, by even observing the relationship or the date, you inherently change the fact that like something is different about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
And maybe she'll be more self-conscious dealing with you.
Maybe that. Maybe.
For sure. Yeah.
Possibly. He's going to describe my orgasm on the show in front of his mother. You know, that would be odd.
Yeah.
You get
exactly.
It? Yeah.
So I kind of have to pick and choose when to,
and our
to share.
And my partner, he has to be open about what I'm talking about. You know, he has to be like cool with that, because if he's not supportive, then it's not going to work.
Does that ever come up?
It occasionally comes up, but very rarely.
Yeah.
He's kind of very open. He's an open person.
That's great.
So
it works then.
Yeah, and he's pretty supportive of what I'm doing. So he knows our mission here.
I think one of my least favorite feelings, ironically, is hooking up with someone and thinking that they could potentially be like talking shit about me to their friends afterwards.
Sure. Hmm. Yeah.
Or even just having any interaction, thinking, oh my God, after this interaction, they're going to be, you know, talking behind my back in any way. So I kind of try to avoid that on our show.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's more of a teachable moment as opposed to being like, wow, that person sucked in bed.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
of course.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Although, and hopefully self-deprecating.
Sure.
Yeah. I think there's also something where it's like, if you want to know what I'm saying about you behind your back, it's on the podcast. Like, it's all there.
Yeah.
There's no mystery here.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no mystery. You get it.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah. Well, so I guess kind of continuing on with, like you said, talking on this show has made you more comfortable talking with each other about sex and also probably just talking about it generally. And I guess I'm wondering, like, have you found that talking about these sorts of things on the show and how like observing them changes them? Have you found that, I guess for you, Cam, this one's mostly for you.
Respond, Mom.
At all.
You can give me the insights.
Really fast.
Yeah.
Is that the question?
Mom, what the fuck?
Kidding. Kidding.
No, the question is, like, have you found that it's made it like easier or harder to kind of get into more of a relationship instead of just casually dating or something? Or like, has it changed it, do you think?
I think it's kind of a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. I think I put more onus on me to really not fuck up a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of have to. I can't really just like go wild and crazy,
yeah.
Because I'm like, well, am I going to be comfortable talking about that on the show? Like, I don't know. And then on the other hand,
wild and crazy, like sex.
There's, I mean, I am an open book, so it would be like with this whole thing. So it would be very hard for me to go and do something that I typically wouldn't do. That, like, it in a way, it's harder to get out of my comfort zone.
Because you know you're going to talk about it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. That's interesting.
But on the other hand, it has definitely improved my communication skills, which then makes it easier for me to relate to someone.
That's good.
Yeah.
Interesting.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMale.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamandEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, MULTI at AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code MULTI.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna do a different question that's kind of related, and maybe this is for both of you. This is for both of you, actually. So, I think that most people are afraid of talking about sex, right? They just don't do it, even with their partners. People tend to kind of like innuendo and hints, and you can't just like freaking say what you mean, right? And I think that what I've noticed of the sex positive community tends to be also made up of people who are less likely to be as focused on things like monogamy or finding the one or kind of the mythology that sort of goes along with relationships and sex. Mm-hmm. Because you kind of take away a little bit of the like mystery or the like, I want to say magic, and I mean that in a bad way.
The idealism of,
when you give something more power than it actually has.
Mm-hmm. Meaning like, that people should just believe like, oh, well, if I'm going to have sex with you, like it'll automatically be magical and perfect and wonderful without needing to talk about it in a specific way.
Yeah. Or even just the fact that we had sex at all means some sort of cosmically meaningful thing rather than like, maybe we have meaning together. Maybe we don't. We also had sex. Maybe it was great. Maybe it wasn't, but that one doesn't necessarily mean the other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I guess where I'm trying to go with all this is I wonder if that's changed kind of your feelings or your thoughts about that kind of stuff, about like finding the one or about soulmates or needing strict monogamy or things like that. Cause like most people, I feel like you get into a relationship or you get married and you put your head in the sand and you pretend your partner never had sex with anyone else.
Right.
Anyone who dates you knows, right?
They can go to episode 112.
Right.
You're another person who had sex.
Right. Like you can't pretend you haven't had partners before them.
Right, right.
And I never understood that because I got totally turned on when my partner told me about all the people he had sex with. I mean, I'm like, tell me more. I want every single detail. He'd be like, I don't feel like, I'm like, but tell me more. It turns me on. I want to know.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, he's desirable for someone else. You know, that's a turn on to me.
Yeah.
I guess I never felt that way about.
Yes, yeah, so maybe but you were there already. Yeah,
I'm a kind of like a traditional monogamy person, believe it or not, so far.
I think I guess I haven't really lost my idealism. I think I still am striving to have, like, the sex that I have tends to be, or I want it to be more meaningful and more connected. I'm aware that I'm capable of having just physical sex and you know, it means very little afterwards, except kind of leaves me feeling like, oh, it could have been better. Mm. But I still strive for that, you know, romantic ideal, right. I think.
Now, can you tell me more about that? Like, what is that romantic ideal? Because I don't mean to imply that I'm saying, like, that disconnected sex is the best sex or something. Mm-hmm. I don't mean that at all. Like, I'm like, I agree with you that there's a different quality between like being very emotionally connected with someone versus not.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess in terms of the romantic ideal for you, what all does that involve? Like, what else is part of that?
I get the relationship is less important to me is the just the feeling of being seen and seeing the other person and then uniting,
right.
You know, physically through that.
Right.
So that's kind of the ideal.
Okay. But does that in your mind, I'm just like psychoanalyzing you here.
Yeah,
does that in your mind? Does that come along with it, this idea of, well, eventually I'll find this one who will satisfy me enough that I'll want to be with them all the time, or like that kind of mythology or that sort of idea? Like, is that something that you do find you're still looking for, or has that changed? Or were you never?
It would change the trajectory of the show a little bit, possibly.
Yeah, this is actually something I've been thinking a lot about.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, what the fuck happens if I get into like a very committed relationship?
Yeah. Right.
You can't do it, Cam. Sorry.
You're like, I'm sorry. Only one of us can. And it's in your contract.
You're not allowed to. Honestly, I had a 6-month relationship a couple years ago.
The show was so boring then. I wanted to.
Oh my goodness.
She's like, the first few episodes are juicy because I'm like, holy shit, what's going on here?
Yeah, like, I can't talk about this. I'm like, oh shit, I can't talk about this and you can't talk about that. What the fuck are we
going to
talk about?
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I think it would be nice to have at least one partner who I can feel very connected with, mm-hmm. you know?
Like you do two partners?
I'll start with one. Clearly you guys are comfortable with more than one, one would be great. And then if we could start adding more, you know, if everyone is excited, then maybe that works. I don't know.
Interesting.
But yeah, there's no ideal in that sense of how many partners or, you know.
He's very picky.
Okay, looking for one would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually admire you guys because when I was single, I was like, oh my God, I just couldn't find a guy I'd want to even go out with more than once. Mm.
I mean, that is challenging.
It's not,
sometimes.
Yeah.
So how do you have more than two or three people in your life? That's really challenging to find someone. I mean, I have a hard time getting through the one partner I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have found that in some ways it takes a little bit of pressure off of that one relationship, you know?
Yeah. Because that would be helpful. Like, oh, he's bothering me today. I'll go with that other person.
Maybe not quite like that, but you know, it's like I have certain things that this partner loves to do with me and this other one maybe likes to do different things instead of like...
We've heard this a ton.
Yeah.
Oh, have you had other people on your show that are...
Totally.
Really? Yeah, non-monogamous?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
It seems these days no one's monogamous.
Yeah. Really? Like, we're the monogamous people.
Yeah. We're the unicorns at this point.
Interesting.
I still believe in monogamy, believe it or not. I don't even know if I am, so maybe you're the only unicorn.
No, I don't. I definitely am not preaching like everyone needs to be monogamous. Yeah. I don't know if that's the right move at all. Right.
The Bachelorettes were monogamous.
Okay, they were monogamous.
But they weren't when they were on the show.
That's... You have to listen to the podcast to hear that one.
Scoop. I know. I'm interested on that. Yeah. And that's like very kind of exhibitionist. Like, here's my, you know, entire dating life on screen for 6 weeks or whatever.
I know.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Like that being in terms of like an observed relationship changing. And so like manufactured and like production thrown at it. Like, what a weird thing. I can't even imagine.
A weird thing. Yeah. How does anything substantial come from this?
I have no idea.
And they're married.
I have no idea. That's really amazing to me.
Yeah.
Because it does work like what? Like 20% of the time I thought I've
that's
heard.
High. Maybe these guys are in love.
Yeah.
Yeah. They really love their partners.
Wow. Well, good for them.
Yeah,
great. Maybe those producers are like the best dating app out there.
Yeah. Maybe.
You were saying that Cam should go on than The Bachelor.
There you go.
I just
stand-up
feel
comedian
like...
with a hit podcast.
Yeah,
everyone's gonna love it. Yeah.
I might be able to get on there, but I think I would go crazy.
Yeah.
That's multi-amory right there.
There you go.
And all those women.
Exactly.
Oh my god.
Boy, that would be interesting.
No, I think I would just be one of those contestants, being like, what? There are all these other guys I'm competing against? What?
Oh. No, that's the bachelorette. If you were the bachelor, you have a bunch of bachelorettes out there that want you, and you have to pick which one to give a rose to.
Right,
and
knowing
you, you'd feel so bad for them. I can't pick one. I'll feel bad if I do that.
Yeah,
this is true. I think it would be very just like very disconcerting to be like, you
going,
suck.
Oh my God, I'm tearing my hair out. What do I do?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I would be bald by the end of it for sure.
Yeah, no, it would definitely be challenging for sure. So do you see kind of the world at large like moving in this direction of being able to talk about sex
with people
in general, just like their partners, their parents, whomever? And it, because obviously like America is still a very puritanical society.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre,
that like permeates every inch of our culture still.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love like what you two are doing just because you're kind of breaking that mold in a really huge way.
Thank you.
Are you feeling, do you have kids?
No.
So if you had kids, would you feel comfortable talking to them about sex?
Yes.
I'm not ever going to have any, but, my hope is that for like my friends or my siblings who have kids, that even if they're not comfortable talking about it, that I can kind of help be that role of like,
hey,
if you need someone to go to who's not your parent to talk about this stuff.
Cool uncle.
I'm the cool uncle, right? That's the hope. We'll see if it turns out
that way.
Yeah. Either that or I'm just like the weird uncle. They're like, ooh, don't talk to Uncle Jace. Who knows?
That weird podcast.
You have made comments recently, though, that you're like, this country is getting even worse. It's going backwards. Totally. People are speaking less about
sex.
Well,
right now it is in most ways.
Yeah.
It's totally backwards. It's just so bizarre. People are so like uptight and prissy and oh my God, it's just horrible. And at the same time, the most popular video that I made on YouTube was about penis size. So, I mean, we need to talk about it.
Yeah. It's like a conflict of, we don't feel like we can talk about it, but everyone wants to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is really interesting.
So with your parents, how did that sex talk go?
Either way,
it was a little rough at first in terms of like coming out as polyamorous during that time. That was challenging for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But like talking about sex, the first time that I had sex, I was like, I need to go to the gynecologist. And my mom's like, well, I guess that means that you're going to have sex. And I was like, yeah, like, yes. And she's like, well, it just relationships become so much harder then. And I'm like, I know, but we're going to do this now. Like, it's going to be all right.
This method of deterrent is not working.
Yeah.
Next question.
Yeah. I'm not going to stay abstinent. Like, I'm not going to abstain from sex. So here we go. We're going to do this. But it was challenging initially a little bit, especially the polyamory talk for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are kind of like two different conversations.
I know. Yeah.
I know that for me, like I kind of got to an age where I felt like my parents should have had the talk with me by now. So I actually approached my dad about it and I was like, hey dad, so I think like it's time you should give me the talk.
How old am I? Come on.
Here's a book.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the pages.
Well, you're the oldest child too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So were you like 6 years old when you did this?
No, I'm trying to remember how old I would have been. It was probably at maybe 13 or
like
teenager or something like that. But I remember
it was foreshadowing.
Yeah, I guess so. But I remember we were sitting out on the front porch in the summer in Iowa and like had popsicles because it was super hot in the middle of the day. And he's sitting there. He's like, well, a penis is sort of like this popsicle.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Seriously?
At the same time.
That's what happens. That's not the direction it went, but he just made that joke out of nowhere. And I still like remember that.
I bet you do. Horrifying.
Hilarious. No, it cracked me up even at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, then we like didn't really have a lot of content to that. I feel like the most sex stuff I learned was from books actually that my mom got me that like her doctor, or I guess maybe it was like our pediatrician or something, had recommended like, these are some good books, you know, the like What's Happening to My Body book for boys or something like that. I actually learned a lot from it.
Oh.
I pored over those diagrams of naked people
and
you're always sexually oriented.
I don't know about that. More like
sexually oriented.
interested?
More like very interested.
Yeah. Curious. Sexually curious.
Like nerdy about it, maybe is the thing. Because I was saving myself for marriage and didn't have sex till I was a freshman in college.
I did too.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Sophomore.
Yeah, no, I was 18.
I was not saving myself at all.
Were you 18?
I was 19. Yeah.
Well, you're an old boy.
I'm an old boy, yeah.
In terms of school.
So maybe that's the key. You lose it when you're 19, you become crazy like four of
them. Yeah, 18, 19, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, my sex talk with my parents then was about popsicles. Yeah. No, and I feel like the actual content of it ended up being more about kind of being aware of what other people think about sex. And like, if you're alone with a girl, even if you're not doing something people might think that you are, and you need to be aware of that fact. And it was sort of a different angle, I think, than a lot of people have had in their sex talk with their parents. I mean, sure. But it was mostly scrambled. This is before we had good internet porn.
Yeah, he's kind of old.
He looks like old.
I know he does, but he's...
I'm turning 37 next month.
Right? Look at him. I know. It's disgusting. Yeah.
I'm 30.
Good genes. Yeah, I'm 31. Damn. So
God.
I know.
But you're all the same age, and I'm just the old lady in the bunch. No.
Maybe polyamory is the way to go.
Yeah. It keeps you young. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That and the drinking the blood of babies is always
wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Don't tell them about that. No.
Yeah. That's. Yeah. You don't know about that. Oh, till you're
is that another podcast?
Yeah. So do you have any live shows coming up? I know that one just passed.
We have, yes.
Yes.
We just had one on June 10th.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
the Hollywood Improv.
So. But, yeah. You know, we do like once a month, every other month in LA if you're around.
Oh, that's great. And you do them all in LA.
Yes.
You know, we've been up in San Francisco. We won Second City in Chicago. So we have.
That's awesome.
We do travel.
We do travel.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's great. Can you pimp yourself out in any other way as well?
Well, you can check us out on Instagram at Sex Talk with My Mom, and wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can check us out.
And
Sex
Patreon.
Talk with My Mom.
We have a Patreon page. Yes. Patreon/Sex Talk with My Mom.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Perfect. And then Stitcher, iTunes, all where fine podcasts are sold.
Yeah. Yes. And
definitely subscribe, you guys. We'd love to know who's, and tell us if you came from the Multi-Amory podcast.
Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Totally. And also, I guess you could look up, because we're going to be on your show, or well, probably have already been on your show by the time this comes out. Go check that out as well if you want to hear a totally different take.
Yes. So check it out.
That episode is our favorite. So
absolutely.
That's great. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us on.
This was awesome. Love it.
All right. That was so awesome having the two of them on our show. We're really interested to hear what you got out of that episode. Also, if you have listened to any of their stuff before, if you've maybe even seen them in person at one of their live shows, we would love to hear from you what you think about them. And the best place to do that and to share your thoughts with other listeners is on this episode's discussion thread in our private Facebook group or Discord chat. You can get access to these groups and join our exclusive community by going to patreon.com/multiamory. In addition, you can share with us publicly on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can email us at info@multiamory.com. Leave us a voicemail at 678-MULTI-05. Or you can leave us a voice message on Facebook. Multiamory is created and produced by Dedeker Winston, Jace Lindgren, and me, Emily Matlack. Our episodes are edited by Mauricio Balvanera. Our social media wizard is Will McMillan. Our theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh and Anand from the Fractal Cave EP. The full transcript is available on this episode's page on multiamory.com.